Please take your Bibles now and turn with me, if you will, to the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 4, Paul's letter to the small young church in the city of Colossae. And this morning we're just going to be looking at one brief, short verse, but a very important verse. Verse 2 from chapter 4. And Lord willing, tonight we'll look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 4. These verses have to do with prayer. Paul calling the Colossians to prayer. And this morning our focus again will be on verse 2 of chapter 4. But to set these verses in a little bit of context, I'm going to read chapter 3, verses 1 to 17 first. I think these really influence what Paul says here in these verses about prayer. And so I'm going to start by reading chapter 3, verses 1 to 17, and then we'll jump to what's going to be our focus this morning and then again tonight. So let's give our attention now to the Word of God, beginning in Colossians 3, verse 1. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you: sexual immorality, impurity, passion, evil desire and covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you too once walked when you were living in them, but now you must put them all away: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and obscene talk from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old self with its practices and have put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. Here there is not Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, free, but Christ is all and in all. Put on then, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassionate hearts, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience, bearing with one another, and if one has a complaint against another, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And then skip forward with me to chapter 4, verse 2. And I'll read a few verses here. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear, which is how I ought to speak. That's where we'll end the reading of God's word this morning. But let me just read once more verse 2, which is our focus this morning. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And let's stop and pray before we dig into this passage a little bit more and ask for God's blessing. Father in heaven, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity this morning to look at your word. And Lord, I pray that you would enable us to hear it with faith and understanding, and that we would lay it up in our hearts and be enabled to practice it in our lives to your glory and for our good. And so, Lord, give us focused hearts and ears that would hear now, and please speak to us, we ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you are in Christ by faith, then Colossians 3, which we've just read, Colossians 3 calls you to set your minds on things above, to put to death what is earthly in you, to put on love, to be thankful, to let Christ's peace and his word dwell in you, to do everything in his name and for his glory in every calling and situation and relationship of life. This is how the Colossians, and this is how you and I are to live a growing, fruitful life in Christ. But that's a tall order, isn't it? That's a pretty long list. That is no easy task. In fact, if you're like me, it can be overwhelming hearing Colossians 3 and thinking about that. How could the Colossians do this? How can you and I possibly do all this? Well, I think there's a reason why Paul transitions in these verses in chapter 4, in these verses 2 through 4, why he transitions to his closing remarks here with a call to pray. I think there's a reason why Paul says here, continue steadfastly in prayer. Paul knows the truth that Jesus taught in John 15, verse 5. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This is why you must pray. To live a growing life in Christ, you must pray and keep on praying, because you can't do it on your own. You see, the Colossians 3 life of growing in Christ can only be lived by faith in Christ. And one of the main ways that you do that, live by faith in Christ, is through prayer. Prayer gives you a wide open window to God. It is a means of grace that God uses to grow you, because it draws you before the throne of grace. It gives you access to God himself, to all his resources, to his presence and his power. And so Paul is transitioning here in this part of his letter to his closing greetings. But verses 2 through 4 are not just a simple transition or a formality. Oh yeah, remember to pray. No, these are pivotal verses. A growing life in Christ must be marked by and can only be sustained by Jesus Christ himself and through prayer, relying upon him. What we see in our passage this morning, in this short verse, is that prayer is vital for a growing life in Christ. Do you want to live and grow in Christ? Do you want to live the Colossians 3 life that we've just read about? Do you want to serve and glorify the Lord? Then rely on him. Live by faith. And therefore, live by prayer. Brothers and sisters, Colossians 4, verse 2 calls each one of you this morning to pray. Specifically, to press on in prayer, to continue praying in order to grow in Christ and glorify him. Well, I want us to look at that together this morning. Paul calls you to pray because prayer sustains your growing life in Christ. It's a vital life link between you and Christ, between heaven and earth. But prayer is not a simple, easy thing. It's not just an add-on. And so we'll see that God calls you through Paul to pray this morning with persistence, with watchfulness, and then third, with thanksgiving. Pray with persistence, watchfulness, and thanksgiving. First of all, God calls you to pray with persistence. Look again at verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Some translations will say, devote yourselves to prayer. Persist in it. Persevere. Press on. And the word Paul uses for continue steadfastly is a word that pictures endurance. Staying in a fixed direction. Not giving up despite adversity and difficulty. It's an intense, continual effort that he calls you to. Keep on keeping on. Keep praying. Don't stop, says Paul. Don't let up. It's as if Paul is like the track coach or the cross-country coach on the sidelines calling out, push yourself. Keep going. Keep up the pace. Don't let up. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Now, this is not the only time Paul has urged Christians to do this. In Ephesians 6, verse 18, Paul says, praying at all times in the Spirit, with all prayer and supplication, keep alert with all perseverance. Or Romans 12, verse 12, be constant in prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 and following. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances. Paul preached to pray continuously. But Paul didn't just preach persistent prayer. He practiced it himself as well. If you look at Colossians 1, he tells the Colossian church, we always thank God when we pray for you. From the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you. Paul himself persisted in prayer. But why was that? Why was there such a persistence in his prayer? And why did he urge his fellow Christians to press on in prayer? Why do we need to be persistent in prayer? Well, for Paul, prayer was like, it was like eating. He had to do it. It was an essential part of life. It sustained him. Life could hardly be imagined without it. Paul knew that he couldn't live and grow in Christ and glorify him on his own strength and his own power. He couldn't build the church. He couldn't build up other Christians on his own. And so he prayed. He called upon the power of God. And friends, in the same way, you wouldn't be able to live without food, and so you eat. It's necessary. You have to eat. In the same way, you have to pray. Prayer sustains your life in Christ. But just like you have to eat every day, you have to persist in eating, and that's usually not very hard for most of us, you also have to persist in prayer. Persist, press on, keep doing it day after day. But prayer isn't easy. It's not easy to persist in prayer. Prayer takes practice. It takes time. It requires faith, focus, discipline. It's hard work. It's so often easier not to pray than it is to pray. And so this is why Paul says, keep at it. Don't give up. Don't slow down. Continue steadfastly in prayer. George Mueller, a man who is known in church history as a man of prayer, once said, the great fault of the children of God is that they do not continue in prayer. They do not go on praying. They do not persevere. If they desire anything for God's glory, they should pray until they get it. Oh, how good and kind and gracious and condescending is the one with whom we have to do. He has given me, unworthy as I am, immeasurably above all I had asked or thought. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Well, it's nice to hear that and talk about it, but how do we do that? What does this look like? How do we continue in prayer? How do we make this a part of the regular rhythm of our life in Christ? The air we breathe. How do we make this our daily bread? Well, many have found it helpful to start and end the day in prayer. Make prayer the door you walk out of and walk back in each new day. Also, pick a time and a place to pray. Think about how you have a time and place for things that are important to you, things that are necessary for life, even things as trivial as brushing your teeth. When something is important, when it has a regular time and place, it becomes second nature. And you do it without even hardly thinking about it. You can also take the opportunity to consciously and thoughtfully stop and pray before every meal. This is actually a good practice, a good tradition, if you don't let it become routine. If you actually slow down and stop and use that as an opportunity, a space throughout your day to continue steadfastly in prayer. Another help to be devoted and persistent in prayer is to pray right when you hear of a request. Right when something comes to mind, when you're prompted, when you're thinking about a need. Don't think, well, I'll pray about that later, or I'll write that down. Just stop right where you are. And even if it's in your heart, silently pray about that. And one of the beautiful things about prayer is that we can pray at any time, in any place, knowing that the all-hearing, all-present, everywhere present God will hear us and answer that prayer according to His will. And so pray right away when you think to pray. Another way to help you pray with persistence, it can be to keep a prayer list or use a prayer guide. If you don't know how to do that, find someone who uses a prayer list or a prayer guide and ask them to show you how they do that, how that helps them in prayer. You can also pray before, during, and after Bible reading. You can pray with others. Pray with family members. Pray with brothers and sisters in Christ in the church. Attend prayer meetings. Pray along in your heart during worship. Yes, there's often one person up front leading, but they are leading everyone before the throne of grace. Pray along in your heart. And finally, find your own ways that work to persist in prayer. Maybe that's on your commute in the morning or returning home from work. Maybe it's when you're exercising or preparing food. Find your own ways to persist in prayer. The emphasis here is on persistence. There's no special technique that Paul gives here. He says, just keep at it. Persist in prayer. One time I was on a walk in the woods back east, and I heard this repetitive thumping sound, this whacking noise. Thump, thump, thump. Again and again. And as I came around the bend in the trail, I looked up and there was a pileated woodpecker slamming his beak again and again and again into this tall oak tree, and there were wood chips flying down onto the trail. And I just stopped and watched this beautiful bird for a few minutes, and I was amazed by his persistence. Continuing steadfastly, just slamming his beak into this tree, slowly, steadily, slamming again and again. And all this was just for his lunch, for maybe a little bug he would find buried in the tree. He did this persistently every day just to eat. And I thought to myself, that is a picture of how we need to be with prayer. Persistent. Regular, rhythmic, driven, knowing that there's a reward, hungry, praying with persistence. Jesus called us to pray with persistence in the parable of the persistent widow in Luke chapter 18. And he said at the end of that parable, I would urge you to look at that maybe later today, Luke 18. But this is his conclusion. Jesus said, "Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" Persist in prayer. Are you doing that? Are you persevering in prayer? Is there a loved one or a friend you've been praying for months or maybe years, decades, and you just want to give up? Will you press on in praying? Are you ready to give up on something or someone? Is life overwhelming? Is your faith, does it seem to be hanging by a thread? Is there something you're praying for as a church that you don't see answers to and you want to give up? Friends, Paul, the Holy Spirit through Paul, would urge you to not stop, but to look to the Lord and pray. Pray and not give up. Maybe this morning your walk has in Christ has grown stale or stalled. Maybe you've slid back. Pray. Persist in prayer. God is good. He is loving. He is all powerful. He hears prayer as we bring our prayers to Him in Christ and through Christ. And so pray with persistence. Pray with persistence. Well, in order to do that, you're going to have to be vigilant. And so God calls you second this morning to pray with watchfulness. Yes, pray with persistence, but in order to do that, you need to be watchful. Pray with watchfulness. Look at what Paul says again in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it. Being watchful in it. Being awake, alert, vigilant. This is actually a wartime military term. Paul says, be on guard like a soldier. In order to pray, you need to think of yourself as though you were in enemy territory, always awake and alert, watchful. Jesus says the same thing, Mark 14:38. Watch, watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. You see, Paul knew that a persistent life of prayer would require watchfulness, a continuous, concentrated awareness, because there are so many dangers and distractions, so many obstacles and temptations that make it hard to press on in prayer, so many things that fight against persevering, persistent prayer. And I think you know this from your own experience, why it's so important to be watchful. There are so many things that would take us away from prayer. Often the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. And so we have to be watchful. Why is that? Let's think about that a little bit more. Well, you have to be watchful or you will simply not make time to pray. You won't plan ahead and pray, and other things will always take up the time. Without watchfulness, prayer will not be a priority in your life. If you're not watchful, you won't even want to pray. Other desires will crowd out the desire to pray. If you're not watchful, you won't know what to pray about. You'll set out the purpose to pray, but then you won't know where to go or what to do. You'll have little awareness of your own needs and limits, your own sins. You'll have little awareness of the needs of others around you, and you'll pray little. You'll forget the resources and greatness of God and His ability to meet all your needs without being watchful. Without watchfulness, the busyness of life, long lists, responsibilities, doubts, all sorts of things will crowd out prayer, will chip away at prayer in your life. And then when you do pray, you'll get tired. You'll fall asleep. Your thoughts will wander. You'll think it was a waste of time. And you need to realize that Satan does not want you praying. And he'll use whatever it takes to interfere. And so you need to be on guard. You need to be watchful. Without watchfulness, without guarding your time and your soul and your priorities, you won't want to pray because of a lack of faith. And oftentimes I think most of the reasons why we don't pray boil down to this. You won't pray because of a lack of faith. You'll not believe in the power of God. You'll trust too little in Him and too much in yourself. You'll forget His goodness and His grace. You'll give up or you'll try to live in your own strength. And prayer is really counterintuitive to your sinful nature. You and I, in our sin and in our unbelief, we try to get through life And we try to get things done on our own. And we need to be watchful against that tendency. We need to pray with watchfulness. One time I was on a big remodeling project, and our crew was really behind. We had deadlines to meet, but we were way behind. And I would want to get there first thing in the morning and start work right away. But there was this older, wiser, slower, more steadfast and watchful man that always insisted on stopping and slowing down, and before we did anything, praying. He said, no, we all need to be here first, and we need to pray together before we do anything else. And I would get so impatient. This is a waste of time. We got work to do. And I was not being watchful. This guy knew that there was work to be done. He knew there were deadlines. He knew we were behind. But he also knew that without God's help, our labor would be in vain. We couldn't strive on our own, neglecting God, and expect to make good, God-glorifying progress. This man was watchful. And because he was watchful, he persevered in prayer. And in the end, the project was completed. And God answered those prayers. Friends, how often do you come up with excuses not to pray, whether you even realize it or not? I need to get to sleep. This will never get done if I don't do it now. God already knows what I need. Or there are other people praying for me. Or God hasn't answered yet. I'm just going to move on. Or this really doesn't work. I know I'm supposed to do this, but I've never seen the results. Or I'll pray tomorrow. I'll pray when I get older. I'll pray when my kids are older and I have more time. I'm not good at praying. I don't know how to do it. What excuses do you come up with? Friends, be watchful. Be on guard against any thought, any feeling, any circumstance or temptation that would pull you away from the Lord, that would pull you away from praying, and fight against it. In order to grow in Christ and glorify Him, pray with persistence and do so watchfully. And then third and finally this morning, pray also with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Look at what Paul says again in verse 2. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Pray with thanksgiving. Thankfulness is a repeated theme in the book of Colossians. It comes up again and again. And it should be a repeated theme in your life as well, and in your prayer. Paul said in chapter 2, you are to abound with thanksgiving. Literally spill over, slosh over with thanksgiving. He said in chapter 3, we read this, do everything with thanks to God. And he says here, continue steadfastly in prayer with thanksgiving. Now, why is this? Well, think about it. If what Paul has said about Christ and the full redemption that you and I have in Him in this letter and elsewhere in Scripture, if that is all true, if He is the supreme Lord and you and I have life and forgiveness and future glory and all the riches of His blessings in Him, if all that is true, then you and I should not be able to stop thanking Him. Nobody should be able to even shut us up. We should just be pouring out praise and thanks to Him all the time. There is always something to give thanks for. And therefore, there is always reason to pray. If you're like me, maybe you have trouble sometimes starting to pray or thinking of things to pray about. Maybe you think you don't know how to pray. Well, just start with thanksgiving. Just think of some things to thank God for. Thank Him for His gifts and His goodness. Or maybe you find yourself in difficult trials sometimes, and that just makes it hard to pray or to be thankful. One time, Paul and Silas had been arrested, and they'd been beaten, whipped, and imprisoned in Philippi. But in Acts chapter 16, verse 25, it says, about midnight they were praying and singing to God. Here they were in the midst of a trial, and yet they were praying, giving thanks, praising God. Later, Paul would write to the Philippians who had seen his example, and he said this to them in Philippians 4, verse 4 and following, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." Thank God at all times. A major part of your persevering prayer, brothers and sisters, should be simply thanking God. Thanking God for who He is and what He's done. Thanking Him for simple everyday blessings that we take for granted. And thanking Him for eternal blessings that we'll never be able to exhaust our thanks for. You see, the Christian life and Christian prayer without thanksgiving was almost like a contradiction for Paul. He couldn't conceive of it. A Christian, by definition, was thankful because they had received the most undeserved, glorious gift, the gospel. For Paul, the gospel had to produce praise and thanks. It had to stimulate thankfulness. Friends, press on in prayer with thanksgiving. If you are in Christ, you realize you are going to be joyfully, continuously thanking and praising God for all eternity. Well, why wait? Start now as a foretaste. Don't forget who God is and all He's done. Thank Him. Relish Him and His gifts more and more, and sin less and less. Make every day, every twist and turn of life, an opportunity to praise and thank God. Pray with thanksgiving. Well, persevering, watchful, thankful prayer, as we've seen in this short verse, is vital. Vital for a growing life in Christ. And that is what you and I are called to. And that's why Paul says what he says here in this part of his letter. He wanted to stamp this reality on your hearts and your minds. That a persevering walk in Christ takes a persevering talk with Christ. A persevering walk in Christ takes a persevering talk with Christ. And talking with Christ, praying to Him and through Him, is possible. And it's a privilege because He is not an idea. He's not a religion. He's not a set of rules or some philosophy. He is your life, said Paul. He is a living person, your living Savior and Lord, your great High Priest. He is your help and your strength. And if so, talk to Him. Use Him, lean upon Him, praise Him, thank Him, pour out your heart to Him. Press on in prayer. Remember, we saw earlier that this persistent prayer that God calls you to carries this idea of endurance. Staying in a fixed direction. Not giving up despite adversity and difficulty. It's much like running a marathon. I've never done it, but I can only imagine. And there's a world record marathon runner that I once read about by the name of Zoe Koplowitz. And this woman once said, "I will never finish a marathon before sundown or even sunrise the next day, but I will finish." And finish she does, taking one step after another with braces in both hands because she runs with multiple sclerosis. And her world record for the marathon is not for the shortest marathon, but for the longest marathon ever. 33 hours and 9 minutes. And yet she's completed a total of 25 marathons, all of them finishing in very last place. But she understands and has said this. She says, "The race belongs not only to the swift and strong, but to those who keep on running. To those who persist, persevere." And friends, in much the same way, the Christian life, a life growing in Christ, a life of progress, the race that is set before each one of you is not run by the swift and strong in themselves. It's actually run by the weak and the needy. Those who are aware of their own frailty and sin, yet taking one step at a time, leaning upon Christ and constant communion with and dependence upon Him, and persevering faith in Him. A marathon takes, by rough estimate, some 50,000 steps for the average runner. Zoe's marathons take thousands upon thousands more. And yet she presses on one step at a time. Friends, will you press on? A life in Christ is a long, hard race. And you and I cannot run it on our own. But we don't have to. And so run it with Christ and in His strength. Run it one step, one day at a time, in constant communion with Him, depending on Him, leaning on Him, praying with persistence, watchfulness, and thankfulness all the way to the end when you reach the finish line. You reach the eternal reward. And when your eyes will look upon Him, your eyes will lock with His, and you will then get to speak with Him face to face. Friends, Christ calls you to run this race in Him and with Him by prayer. He calls you to press on in prayer in order to grow and glorify Him all the way to the end. Let's pray and ask Him to help us to do that. Father in heaven, we confess that we so often lean upon our own strength. We're so quick to forget Your power and Your goodness. Lord, we often give up in prayer. We are not watchful. And Lord, we fail to thank You so often for all that You are and all that You've done. And Lord, I pray that You would convict us and draw us back again to You. We thank You that Jesus Christ is our high priest who has gone before us, who has washed away all of our sin, our prayerlessness, our unbelief. And that in and through Him we can come yet again boldly to Your throne of grace. Lord, help us to see this not just as a duty, but a delight and an awesome privilege. Lord, drive us to prayer that we might depend on You, express our faith in You, rejoice in You, give thanks to You, and that You might use this for our good and for Your glory and for the building up of Your kingdom. Lord, enable us to persevere in prayer. Let us take delight in speaking to You as our Father. And Lord, we ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.